let's hold up our Bible. Let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Give God your best shout. Y'all sound so good today. Open your Bible with me to Philippians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, just look on the overheads with us. But Philippians chapter 4. And we've been talking about all month a series called The Law of Contentment. We end that series today. Begin a new series next weekend, which I'm excited about for December. So we've been talking about how to have a balanced life this whole month. You know, down through the years in ministry, if I've had one person ask me, Pastor, how do you get balance in your life? I've had hundreds ask me. And you know, we live in a world right now, right, where we're all, you know, overcommitted, overstressed, overwhelmed, over our head, right? Does that describe our generation and our culture? I think so. And so I think what we're talking about is very relevant. You know, Mark, our youth leader, and Nikki, I asked them to bring in some of our youth to meet with me, and we did this last week. I'm going to do it quarterly, meet with some of our youth from our youth group, asking them, what should I teach on as their pastor? What should I teach them? What are some needs? And they gave me some great ideas, but they said, you know, a lot of the things that you've covered in this series, you know, has answered a lot of our questions. So I think it's very relevant what we've been talking about on contentment. You know, how do you and I live a balanced life? How do we have margin in our life? How do we overcome the daily struggles, adversity, problems, pressure, people, persecution? How do we do that? I think we do it through that inner strength we call contentment. Now, contentment is not complacency. Can we all agree? I think sometimes, even in the church world, when you say, well, you should be content, that's right, but that doesn't mean complacent. Because if you study your Bible, God created us to be achievers. You know, he put Adam and Eve in the garden. What did he do? Gave them a job. Tend the garden. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply. What's that? Peak performers, high achievers, godly aspiration, godly ambition. So you read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find out that God crafted us, knit us, put us together to be achievers, to have passion and have hot pursuit after his purpose for our life. So it doesn't mean be complacent, doesn't mean be satisfied, set, soak, and sour, and be stagnant and stuck. Doesn't mean that. Contentment, I gave you the definition from the Bible dictionaries, I gave it to you from Webster, and then I gave you mine. And I really like mine because it's so simple. Contentment is this: enjoying your life, while you are in hot pursuit of God's purpose for your life. You see the balance there? You see, sometimes people don't enjoy today because they're so focused on the future. Or they're so focused on today, they don't see that they have a future, right? So I like the balance there, that we're to enjoy our journey while we're pursuing God's purpose for our life. Does that make sense to you today? I think it does, right? The balance there. So we looked at it. We looked at what it was. We looked at what it does. We looked at the benefits of it. And if you haven't been with us, you know, we offer all of our series. We do this as a seed, as sowing into your life. You can get any of our sermons free. Doesn't cost a thing. You go to our website, you download them. We did that on purpose. We kind of stopped doing the CDs and charging so that we could basically just give our material away and be a blessing to people. So no one has an excuse, I can't afford it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so we encourage you to do that. But today what I want to do is I want to conclude. I want to pick up where we left off last week of how do you build it into your life? How do we build this amazing inner strength? How do we do that? So let's look at our text, our foundational text. This is the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. Notice he's in very bad circumstances, but he's not a prisoner of his circumstances. He's a prisoner of Christ. I like that. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. We're not moved by what we see. We're moved by what we believe. Amen, amen, church? So he said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have, this is key, this is crucial, I have learned to be content. So we're not born with it, right? We're not born with it. It's not automatic, and it doesn't come easy. That you and I have to be lifelong learners, and we have to realize that it's going to be all of our life, this journey of learning how to see every day as a gift from God, and not missing out on today because I'm looking towards the future, and when I get there, then I'll be happy. If I'm not happy where I'm at now, I won't be happy where I think I'm going. If I'm not happy where I'm at, bloom where you're, make lemonade out of your, make milkshake out of your milk. Water the grass on this side of the, y'all got it, amen. Really theological, aren't we theologians today, amen. So if I can't learn to be happy here, then I'll never be happy where I think I'm going. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalms 37, verse 23. In the Amplified Version, and it says, the steps of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord when they enjoy the step that they're in. That's an amazing verse, isn't it? The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. But in the Amplified paraphrase, it says, when we learn to rejoice in the step that we're in. So what does that mean to you and me? God's not going to show me the next step until I can learn to be happy where I'm at in Him. Maybe my circumstances, I don't have anything to be happy over, but I always have something to be happy over in Him. It's in Him that we learn to move, right, and have our being and become who God wants us to be. So that's huge. And he said, it's a learning. So as long as you live, you either go by the grave or you're going to go by the rapture, the return of Christ. Until that happens, one or the other, it's a lifelong learning process, learning to be content. Okay. So he said, I've learned to be content. Verse 12. Can we see that, please? Thank you. I know how to be abased. I know how to get through tough times. I know how to abound. I know how to get through good times. I know how to get through the bad and the good everywhere. So everywhere, every state, every job, every house, every family, every community, every church. This will work everywhere. Aren't you glad the word will work in Africa, in India? The word will work in Australia, Argentina, Guatemala, Puerto Rico. The word will work everywhere. Right? Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. Notice he's able to receive instruction. You and I will never have a life of excellence without feedback. We'll never have a life of excellence without feedback. Isn't it interesting when you go shopping now, a lot of times they'll email you immediately, how did they do? They want feedback because it's through feedback we become better at what we do. Go to Disneyland, Disney World. When you're exiting, what are they doing? They got the clipboard. They're asking you questions about your experience. Feedback. Being willing to be correctable, adjustable, and instructed. That's how you and I get better. Amen? And you and I want to get better every day. Instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and suffer need. Okay, Paul, how do we do this? I mean, the world is crazy after our contentment. They want us to be discontent, never happy, never satisfied, want us to be into materialism. And, you know, you and I both know the most important things in life are not things. The most important things in life are not things. The most important things in life are relationships. with God, with our family, and with others. Amen? So the secret sauce, here it is. How do I have that inner strength, Pastor, that no matter what I'm going through, I'm still happy, I still have supernatural hope, and I still have an inward peace, knowing that God's working everything together for my good. I got a negative doctor's report. I just got laid off, or this happened. My boyfriend dropped me. My husband left me. My kids are going crazy. My health is health is up and down. Pastor, what do I do? We need that inner strength of contentment, that no matter anywhere, everywhere, no matter what we're going through, that we have peace, we're calm, undisturbed, the joy of the Lord. And you know, we got to work on this, right, church? We never arrive, but what's the secret sauce? It's a relationship. The secret sauce is verse 13. He goes on to tell us, how do we do it? I can do all these things. What things? Go through the good and go through the bad. Go through the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, the great days of rejoicing and the other days of disappointment. How do I get through the delays, the disappointments, the rejections? How do I get through all of that, that inner strength from the inside called contentment? Where does that come? Through a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, it's more than religion, right, church? It's more than religion, right, online campus? It's a relationship. You might be watching today, and right now the Holy Spirit is speaking to you to call someone. One of our prayer partners are standing by right now, and you're craving for that relationship that you need with Jesus Christ. We're here to help you today. So the secret sauce is a relationship with the Lord. So, okay, Pastor, how do I build contentment? Number one, we build contentment by stop comparing our life with other people. Comparing is the number one enemy to contentment. And let's look, see what the Bible says. Galatians 6, verse 4. Galatians 6 and verse 4. Let everyone be sure that you're doing your very worst. Half-heartedly. Just enough. Be like the law of the most and the law of the average. I don't think at Church on the Rock we are called to be the law of the most, what most people do. We're not called to be the law of the average, what the average person does. I believe you and I are called to give God our very best. I'm going to give, this is my second service. We have four services on the weekend. I'm going to give you my very best. I got up at 5 a.m., started praying for you. I'm glad to do it, excited to do it. Going to bring my very best. You and God deserve. Ushers, when they come, should be preparing, Tony preparing them all week long. Children's workers, all week long. Nursery workers, all week long. Praise and worship, all week long. Parking lot, all week long. Working towards the weekend so that when we come, man, we are in tune, we are in sync, we are here, we are ready, we are prepared, and we're going to bring God our very best. Come on, somebody, I know you are. Your best praise. Amen. Our very best. For then you will have personal satisfaction of work well done, and you won't need to compare yourself with anybody else. So notice, if the Word says don't compare ourselves with other people, then when we do it, what is it? Sin. To know if to do right and not do it, what is that called? Sin. To know if to do right, you know, to be in the Bible, study the Word of God, look at the commandments, and then to do opposite, what is it called? Transgression. Getting outside the line, missing the mark, or sin. So it's a sin when we compare ourselves with other people to what they have, what they wear, what they drive, where they live, where they go, where their kids are at school. God says, don't do that. Why? Because God loves us so much, He doesn't want us to be discontented. He wants us to be content. Amen? Enjoying what He's given us, because everything we have and everything we are is a gift from God. Amen? Let's look at it. The next verse on the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, for who do you know that really knows you? You know, really, only God really knows us, right? Only God really knows us. And only God really knows our heart. That's why we shouldn't judge other people, because we don't know other people and their heart. Come on now. But only God does, right? So we should leave that up to the... Okay, praise God. For who do you know that really knows you, knows your heart? And even if they did, is there anything they would discover in you that could take credit for it? Isn't everything you have and everything you are gifts from God? Wow. That should create generosity in our life. Freely we receive, freely we are to give, a willing heart. So what's the point of this comparing and this competing? What's the point of this comparing and this competing? You know, during Thanksgiving, you know, awesome. Someone sent some flowers to our house to tell us happy Thanksgiving, and just happened to be a former NFL player, a Hall of Famer. And I can remember this individual telling me, you know, Pastor, the greats don't compete with the greats. The greats compete with themselves. The greats compete with themselves. And you know what? That's what you and I are to do. We're not to be competing with other churches, other marriages, other families. Come on, somebody. We're to be competing against ourselves. Because you know what? You've got untapped potential that you will have until your very last day on this planet. As long as you got breath, you got more. Turn to somebody and tell them that. As long as you got breath, you got more inside you. Now let's celebrate your potential, can you? Come on, give God your best praise. Amen. All right, so we shouldn't be comparing. So number one, how do you build contentment? You gotta stop comparing yourself with other people. Amen. So don't compare yourself with other people. This is how you build it. And then number two, four ways on how to build contentment is that you start celebrating other people's blessings. You start celebrating other people's blessings. You know, in Romans chapter 12, it says, weep with those who weep. It's easy for us to do that, right? Weep with those who weep. But then it says, it goes on to say, rejoice with those who are. See right there, praise God. Come on now, you know, when somebody else gets something that maybe you've been wanting and they got it before you, you and I should celebrate and rejoice. And throw a party and get excited for them, right? Because if I can't celebrate somebody else's blessing, God doesn't have one scheduled for me. Amen. Yeah? So you know, that's like in our life. What do we have to do if we want to build contentment? We got to stop comparing. Number two, we got to start celebrating with other people and their blessings. Number three, we got to stop complaining. Ooh, we're going to rush right through this one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, because you just came from a bunch of complainers during... not your family. Praise the Lord. Look what it says, Philippians 2, 14. Can we read it on three together? Here we go. One, two, three. Do everything. It means wash the dishes, carry out the garbage, mow the yard. Everything, go to work, go to church, serve, you know, serve one, worship one, you know, all the above. Winners are constantly working on their attitude. You know, what are we talking about here? He said, do all things without complaining. So if I'm complaining, then what is it? It's sin. Now, the law of the most is complain. The law of the most, that means most people. How do you know that, Pastor? Because in the Bible, remember the 12 spies? 10 were negative and 2 were like you, positive. So notice the majority, the most, the law of the most is they're negative, they're cynical, and they always point out and they're fault-finding. That's the law of the most. Well, I don't want to be like most churches, most Christians, most pastors, most fathers, most husbands, most grandfathers. I want to be unique and special, and I don't want to complain because we will remain. Complaining is the voice of unbelief. Complaining is the voice of unbelief. Complaining is the voice of a victim mentality. And we can help you with that through Thursday night, Celebrate Recovery. We can help people get set free of addictions and behaviors and habits every Thursday night through Celebrate Recovery here at Church on the Rock. But complaining is a sin. Complaining, the Bible says, opens the door to the destroyer. Oh my goodness, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says it opens the door to the devil. When I complain, it's like opening the door wide and let the devil come in and devour, steal, kill, and destroy. Complaining is a lack of faith in God's timing. Complaining is a lack of faith in God's timing. Complaining is a lack of trust in God's process, God's leading. I wish I had more time, but do everything without complaining. We could spend a lot of time on this. When I complain, it releases a bitterness in my life, a bitter spirit, a hard heart. It's a negative attitude. It draws the wrong people. Birds of a feather flock together. It really does. It draws the wrong people into your life that will hold you back in complaining. Now, we all deal with it, right, church? And we're going to deal with it until we die. Amen? Yeah, because just when we say, yay, amen, Pastor, I see it right there. Don't complain. Do everything without complaining. I see it. A New Year's resolution. I'm not going to complain anymore. And then guess what? Tomorrow, we start complaining on steroids. You know, it's just like you say you're going to do a 21-day fast in January, and all of a sudden you have a really hard hunger for Snickers, candy bars, put them in the freezer, get them frozen, pull them out, and eat those Snickers candy bars. I'm not going to complain. Praise God. I see it. It's right there. Oh, it opens the door to the devil. It's a language of unbelief. It's a lack of trust in God's timing. It draws negative people into my life. I'll never get promoted. I won't get a raise. Really, winners don't want to be around whiners. So I'm not going to do it anymore, Pastor. Cross my heart and hope to live. No, I'm not asking you to do that because I know what happens. The devil will come in tomorrow and everything that could go wrong will go wrong and we go complaining on steroids. So what am I challenging you and me to do today? Start with one thing. Just one little thing. Maybe you used to complain about the traffic. Let's just start there. Or maybe the weather. Or maybe your job. Just take one thing. Everybody say one thing. As the team comes out, just one thing. Let's just take one thing and let's work on that, right? Well, Pastor takes too long in his sermons. Let's just... Another project. Kingdom builders, what's it? What do they need now? You know, let's just take one thing. Let's don't try to make a lot of changes because it won't happen. We'll get overwhelmed in over our head. Let's just take one thing. So how do we build contentment? You tell me. Number one was stop comparing. Number two is start celebrating. Number three is, and number four is start a gratitude journal. Start a gratitude journal. I journaled this morning. Boy, if you don't ever get anything from this pastor, teacher, mentor, coach, you need to journal. You need to journal. And a gratitude journal, we gave them to you. Because here's what I know. I can't thank God and complain at the same time. I can't thank God and complain at the same time. Bottom line is, if we just thank God in the morning for His love, His mercy. And then in the evening, this is a scripture, by the way, Psalm 92, verse 2. We thank Him for His faithfulness. First thing in the morning, last thing at night. First thing in the morning, last thing at night. Thank you for His love in the morning and at night. Thank you for His faithfulness. I shared it last night with the church 5 o'clock service. You know, yesterday, you know, it was just an amazing day for me. I just got up, cooked breakfast for Kim, for my dog, for myself. Had a great morning and went and worked out with Daniel, my son. And then I got to go to a soccer game, watch my grandson. And it was just a wonderful day. And I'm driving around, you know, after the soccer game. And Daniel gave me a CD of Bob Dylan that he did in the 70s when he had an experience with God. I don't know if you know that or not, but in the late 70s, Bob Dylan got born again, wrote a bunch of Christian songs. Daniel found that, gave it to me as a gift. So I'm listening to Bob Dylan. You know, I'm a baby boomer. That's my stuff. And you got to serve somebody. That was one of his songs. And I'm listening to that. And I'm just praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, not outwardly, but inside here, I heard this voice say, Dave, I love you. Dave, I really love you. Who was that? That was the Holy Spirit. Just outstanding, isn't it? You know what we need to do? We need to think about that. Amen. Every morning, how much He really loves you. And thank Him for that. And every evening before you go to bed, thank Him for His faithfulness. And you know what? We can't complain and be thankful at the same time. A gratitude journal. Did you get something today? Give the Lord a good praise, would you? Amen.